probably 95, maybe 90% of the ingredients used in the book are all things that we all have in our pantry. They're not extravagant. They're not rare. It's
you know, and we were talking about honey. Honey is one of my favorite ingredients for salad dressing because I use
perfect.
A really good balsamic vinegar, Dijon mustard, a little bit of honey, and then emulsify it with some olive oil and salt and pepper, and it's fabulous.
It is fabulous. It's a perfect natural sweetener to balance the acidity of the vinegar-based vinaigrettes and even making creamy emulsions in the blender. Brines, glazes for the barbecue. I mean, it's just, the list is endless. And, you know, you can find all that on honey.com. They've got just pages and pages of formulas and recipes, also tips and techniques, especially for when you want to take maybe a recipe that you've used over the years and you want to substitute something for honey. They'll sort of give you some guidelines on how to do that. So,
right.
You know, if you've got your favorite brand muffin or your favorite breakfast item and you want to sort of do something different with it and change it up, they'll give you some baking techniques on how to...
You know, David, I want to ask you, how did you get into baking? Did your mom or your dad? Or
no, the baking thing is what I'm the accidental pastry chef. I applied at a hotel in New Orleans called the Windsor Court Hotel back in the early 90s. And, I applied in the kitchen, and they weren't hiring. And so they said, look, if you want to work here, we do have, you know, a position open in the pastry department. And, it's yours. You can start at the ground and work your way up. And, I took it because at the time that was the number one hotel in the country in 1997, and had all the ratings, five beans, five stars, five this, and that's where I wanted to start. And it was a perfect way to educate myself because I got to do all the shifts of overnight baking to tea and high tea and breakfast and everything. So it was a wonderful,
And that's really kind of what we were just talking about, is stepping out of the box, because you never thought that you were going to do that, did you?
No.
What were you planning on doing?
I had to be a veterinarian. That's what my father is.
Isn't that interesting?
I'd love to say beekeeper, I think every boy, child, what have you, sort of looks at what their parents do and sees themselves doing it, or at least there's a glance there, and not because there was a pressure or an expectation. It's just I wanted to be like my dad.
Yeah,
I love it. All right. Well, what can you leave us with? I know that you're very passionate about your honey.
Indeed.
But if you could give us a couple little tips on baking, what would that be?
I would say don't stress out. Try it again and again. You know, a lot of times there's a lot of fears behind baking and baking from books and trying things new. You know, in my book, I sort of talk about, hey, it's a little bit of a sort of what they call a line cook's mentality of sort of, hey, if it calls for this of salt, but you want it saltier, then you can add it. Or, obviously there's some parameters, baking soda, baking powders, leavening agents, you can't really mess with. But there's a lot of other sort of play, and I sort of highlight that playable area, I want people to sort of stop stressing out about, the formulas. Now, granted, there are formulas for a reason.
I always think baking is more like science.
It is.
And there's cooking is more like whatever. But
yeah. But there's so many pan things you can do in a pan, that are sort of more like the bananas foster or glazing something, or, taking honey and cracking open some peaches and throwing into a saute pan with a little bit of butter and maybe some vanilla sugar or some kind of vanilla bean. It's just, there's so many quick dishes that, you put a little dollop of whipped cream and that's a nice sweet snack. And it's not all formula driven to where it's got to be scaled out. So there's a lot of sweet dishes that you can do a la minute that are fun and interactive and sort of the showstopper, especially for people that are entertaining at the house.
I like that term, a la minute.
Go.
A la minute, I like it. All right, well, we've been talking to David Goss, and where do we find your book?
It's on my website, BayouBakeryVA.com. It's also Taunton Press is my publisher, and you can access the information from their site as well.
Okay, so we'll promise to have you back if you bring us
some beignets
the next time you're here.
We'll try with honey next time.
There you go.
I need to try it that way.
All right, do me a favor. Become one of our fans on Facebook. On Facebook?
Of course.
Okay, great. And if you can give us a couple tips on there to share with my listeners.
Some tips for Facebook.
Baking.
For food. on Facebook.
Facebook.
Oh, yeah, we can do that.
There you go. All right. Well, I appreciate it. You have a great day.
Thank you.
Thank you for being our guest.
All right, Kim. Take care.
All right, perfect. You are listening to The Kim Pagano Show. We've got actually Steve back up on the board today.
Yay.
And but I have to, I'm so proud of us.
I know. We turned it on.
We pulled it together. So also, I just got an email from Sheldon Brown of Ventura Breeze, and we've got two tickets to Alivius Adobe this Saturday night, and it's a special concert. And it's a concert to raise funds for Ventura Unified Arts Education Master Plan. And it's at 7:30, and they're $25 each. I've got two tickets. And so I'm going to open up our phone lines to at 805-639-0008. And we will take caller number three. All right. With that, we're going to take a really quick break, and we'll be right back. Stay with us. You're listening to The Kim Pagano Show.
Join us at the Lewis Music Academy this summer and let our family teach your family to love music. We offer private and group instruction for piano, guitar, bass, drums, voice, violin, viola, and cello. We also have a perfect cure for the summertime blues with our rock and roll summer camps. And for your adorable MIDI music lovers, we have an exciting Music for Tots program for children ages 3 to 5. Visit our website at lewismusicacademy.com and let our family teach your family to love music. Join us at the Lewis Music Academy this summer and let our family teach your family to love music. We offer private and group instruction for piano, guitar, bass, drums, voice, violin, viola, and cello. We also have a perfect cure for the summertime blues with our rock and roll summer camps. And for your adorable MIDI music lovers, we have an exciting Music for Tots program for children ages 3 to 5. Visit our website at lewismusicacademy.com and let our family teach your family to love music.
Do you ever feel like school gets in the way of your time with your children?
Wait, what do you mean? Doesn't everyone have their children in school all day, then fight with them to get homework finished in addition to everything else that needs to be done?
You must not have heard about Somas Academy Charter School right here in Camarillo.
What is Somas Academy?
Somas Academy has changed our lives. I'm so sorry I haven't shared this with you sooner. Somas Academy is a public school which is aligned with state standards and allows me to school my child on our time, giving us much more time for our family.
I'm not a teacher. How do you do this?
Trust me, I didn't think I could do it either. At Somas Academy, I partner with a great supervising teacher who guides us through the educational process. It's been so successful for us. Not only that, Somas Academy offers individualized learning for kindergarten through 12th grade, friendly teachers, park days and field trips, on-campus enrichment days, and specialized teachers for classes and labs for high school.
Wow, that sounds like a great fit for our family.
Call Somas Academy today for more information at 987-1188, extension 100, or visit their website at somas-academy.org.
This is The Kim Pagano Show on AM 1400 KKZZ. Are you a fan of Kim on Facebook yet? If not, it's extremely easy. Simply go to Facebook.com/The Kim Pagano Show and press the like button. You can find all about what's coming up on upcoming shows as well as be entered in special contests to win monthly prizes. It's all for free on Facebook at Facebook.com/The Kim Pagano Show. And now, once again, here's Kim.
All right. Welcome back, everyone. And, you know, for some reason, we couldn't grab any of our phone calls. I don't know what happened, but there were so many. So give us a call back for those tickets for this Saturday night. And at
it's 1 of those mornings, I think.
I think. Is it Monday?
No, I know.
You know, on the way up here, I kept thinking it was Tuesday.
I don't know.
So it's Thursday. Today is Thursday, September the 8th.
Okay. Now that I brought everything for the, you know, tomorrow's show, so you guys all know what's going on for tomorrow. But anyways, we do have a great show, and we're talking about kind of stepping out of the box a little bit, you know, of really putting yourself out there. And what have you guys done that has
Well, you're here, I guess.
That is.
That's stepping out of the box right there, right?
You know, I was actually thinking this morning, because, you know, I mentioned earlier my cousin that went to London, and I was just thinking about myself and my life and what I've done, and I actually relocated to California completely by myself. And I guess when I was in the middle of it, I didn't really think that much of it, except, you know, it was this big adventure, and I could come to California, and I had no family here when I came out, and yet,
And how old were you?
I just finished college, so I was 21, and
did you have a job?
I did.
Oh, that's good.
I did. I came out and moved across country, and here I was. And 15 years later, I'm still here. But I think sometimes we forget that we take steps, because when you're in the middle of it, maybe it doesn't always seem as big as when you're thinking about it. I don't know.
All right. We have okay. Is she on our line right now? Oh, okay.
Okay, I agree. I mean, it's pretty funny because I'm trying to encourage my kids to go away to college away, you know, so they have that experience, because I think we get too stuck in our, not in a rut, but stuck in comfortability. And then you forget how many possibilities can be there if you do something different.
And sometimes people will step out and go away and maybe not enjoy it as much and come back.
Absolutely.
You know? And there are some who want to stay closer to their
roots. I know
roots.
A good girlfriend of mine says, don't send them away. They never come home.
You know, that's what my mom says, I think.
I've heard that too. Although Brittany left to go down to San Diego, not so far, but then realized, you know. And it's funny because she's not, I mean, she is a little family person, but I didn't think she'd come back for that reason, and she did, you know? So you never know. But when, I mean, she got into Boston and New York, and I was thinking, that was like right around 9/11, and I was thinking if she went over there, she would find somebody over there and never come back. So
you wouldn't let her go?
No, she'd made that choice.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, no.
I was gonna say,
I tied her up for a couple years. So anyways, Prudence, you want to talk about who's our next guest on our show?
We're going to be talking about schools and how they place a big emphasis on testing and kind of what else they're missing out on in their curriculum, because the idea of being able to help develop character can really help them as well in developing who they are. And so that's what we're going to be talking about next.
Yeah, you know, school's back in, and we've been talking about us as, like, you know, what our next goals are and stuff. But, you know, some of our kids have a really tough time getting back in to
the swing of it.
Yeah, well, not only the swing of it, but just, you know, they're in the next year. Maybe it's a little harder. Maybe, you know. So what, you know, I mean, there's so many things that you can do, and there's so many advocates out there now that can help your kids. Don't feel like, I don't know how to help you, you know?
Well, and there's something to be said about the break in the summer. Some kids have a really hard time shifting back into the swing of things, study-wise, setting up their habits, that kind of thing. You know, some advocates, my understanding is advocates of the year-round schooling, where they have shorter breaks, but they have them a little more frequent, but they go and have classes in the summers as well. That's one of the advantages, is that kids are sort of always in that routine of studying and learning, and so there's less of that gap after the summer. So it's like everybody, it's almost like even exercise. If you stop for a while, when you restart, you have to kind of work it out to get back into your strength.
Right. So you're in a private school.
Right.
Your kids, not
My
you.
Kids were always in public school till high school.
And what made you make that decision?
Well, it was just there was a program that one of my sons, a lacrosse player, and at the time they entered high school, the local high schools didn't have lacrosse. And he really thought maybe he wanted to play that in college. So that's what started us looking for private high school. And frankly, I'm going to say this because all things considered, I do like the idea of a public high school. I like the diversity. I like the fact your kids are in social economic diversity as well as ethnic diversity. So I don't have anything against public school. And I was a huge supporter of public school. And I mean, I was PTA president and, you know, elementary school, junior high. So I'm not talking from a point of view that private school is the only way to go. Now, it is a religious school. It's a Catholic school, although we're not Catholic. But that has been very interesting.
Has it? Because I always wonder about, you know, because like my daughter got into Cal Lutheran. they've got religion there.
Well, that's a college. I think you're not as required to do as much religion.
No, you
actually are. Actually, you are, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
No, you take religion classes, but most colleges teach them as world religion. They don't teach them as, you know.
It depends on what school you go to.
That's true.
Yeah, yeah. Where I went before, there was a private religious college as well, and every Wednesday you had to report to services, and there was besides your classes. So it just depends on their structure.
Well, this particular school is in the Valley, and so 30% of the kids that go to our school are Jewish, even though it's Catholic.
They are?
Yeah. Oh, so it's very interesting because they do teach it more like a world religion class. They do tell you what Catholics believe, but they don't like shove it down your throat, which is, you know.
So I wonder what do those kids do when they're talking, you know? I mean, I guess they can just relate it to God in general.
Well, that's
right?
What they do. Yeah. They talk about God. And the interesting thing is they actually pray in class, and you know, it has been really interesting for my kids to go from a public setting where you're not even allowed to talk about God to a private setting where they encourage you and encourage the kids that believe differently than the school beliefs to express their beliefs, and they're very open. So I've been very impressed. I mean, there's been a couple things I've been a little, you know, have to debrief my children on, but but for the most part.
And when you say debrief them, talk about what your beliefs are. Remember how we really believe, or
well, I tend to be a little bit more open-minded than the structure of Catholicism talks. Mm-hmm. So, you know, we just have to talk about it.
Okay.
And why we believe differently. So it's not like they're right, we're wrong. I don't believe that. I believe that there's more than one road to the same place. But, you know, we just kind of discuss it.
Right.
And it's been good.
Right. You know, yesterday, my husband and I, this is our second trip to David Schneider. He's our sponsor here for Living Trust. And so that's a whole nother ball game of putting your living trust. I know you said you've done it already, and it's been a long time, right?
Well, yeah, we did it about 8 years ago. I mean, we have to update it every once in a while, but yes.
Right. And, you know, of just thinking and planning basically for your death. That's kind of, you know, it's like the...
Or life after you.
Or life after me. There you go. Okay, I like that better. You know, but it's weird to think of, okay, so God forbid something happens to you. Who are your kids going to, you know, who would you want to put your kids on? You know, that's how I look at it now.
I mean, our kids are now at the age that they basically could take care of themselves.
Right, and that's basically.
But when they were younger, it's who's going to keep up the same values and beliefs that you do? And you can't expect the person that you're going to leave your kids to do things exactly the way you do. It's just unrealistic. So you have to find somebody that you at least believe is rational enough to, you know, teach them some good.
Right, exactly, definitely. So, yeah, but it was kind of interesting. So, I mean, just the questions and you know, if you became in what's the word?
Incapacitated.
Yeah. Right, you know, have you thought, I mean, obviously you have, right? Do you have a living trust?
I don't, but I think about it. And, you know, I don't have children, so that piece I don't really have to consider,
but
I have property, and I have,
right?
Yeah, and I have other things, and all my connections, my main family is out of state, so there are things to take into consideration, but especially with my background, I've worked with people who have had dramatic changes in their lives where they needed to have, like, even a power of attorney or somebody who could step in and make medical decisions, and those are the things I think about is, if something happened to me, who would I want making my medical decisions for me, and do they understand what my choices would be? So even in that personal relationship,
right,
it's important. Or if somebody had to step in and make financial decisions for me, how would I want them to handle that and communicate that, and
well,
who would that person be?
And in our case, we did not make the people that will take our children the same people that deal with our finances.
And, oh yeah, we didn't either.
So, and because sometimes they have different strengths.
Right. And I definitely believe that.
Yeah. So,
you know, I think some of the challenge too is having that discussion with whoever the people are that you want to do those things for you. You know, my sister and I, kind of had a heart-to-heart, and it's not your favorite conversation to have, but it's a real conversation to be able, so that people know what your intentions are and what your desires would be.
Now, I have a question for you. So the people that we originally, and I can say this because they don't live in this area, the people that we originally were going to leave the kids with, now see, my kids are 17, 16, so this doesn't apply anymore. Then they changed a lot in the last 8 years. I mean, radically changed. And what they believe isn't necessarily what I believe anymore. So it's like, when do you tell somebody, oh, you were going to get my kids, but today, but now, you, because of your
beliefs. Life changes. You know, life changes, and you have new people that come into your life that may be more better suited, especially right. in location and things like that, for what your needs are.
But you know what was really interesting? I mean, I know a bazillion people, and really, and I don't, I mean, this is really interesting because you've already done yours. Is I was thinking, honestly, there might be three people that I would feel like, you know, that I would be able to trust, that I know that would honor what I've, you know, even
so
though
don't you think that's always the case?
Yeah, but
it's like
just
my grandfather used to say, we have a million acquaintances, but if you die and you can count your good friends on your hands, you're a very blessed person.
Yeah.
Nice.
And that's really stands up in this case. And so my husband and I were sitting there and I was thinking, oh my gosh, this is like, it really kind of hit me, you know, of that there's not, you know, I mean, you have a lot of people, and a lot of people have great qualities, but it's all about, there's just that one thing, you know, that would make a difference for me, you know, and is that how you were?
Yeah.
Okay.
Absolutely.
Okay. So.
And unfortunately, in my case, family members were not part of it.
Yeah.
I mean, I love my brother, and I have two brothers, but one of my brothers has passed away, and I love my brother. He lives in San Diego, but I'll be perfectly honest with you. I have a thing against guns. I don't want them in my house. I don't want my kids around guns. I have a thing against it, and that's my own personal thing. It's not that I believe that you shouldn't be able to own them. I do believe it should be legal for you to own them. I just personally believe that it should be just as hard to get a gun as it is a driver's license. But that's my...
No, I definitely agree.
My brother collects guns. He has guns at his house, and he has them locked up a very responsible way, but I don't want my children around that. So I made a choice that wasn't the person I was going to leave my kids to, because at the time when my kids were 7 and 8 years old, my one son John was very enamored by guns, probably because I never let him have them when he was little to play with, which is maybe my fault. So I just felt that for their health and safety, that wasn't the place I want him to be. Now, as an adult, I could say Kirby would be perfectly fine because John has a much better awareness of who he is, and it doesn't attract him the way it did.
Exactly.
So everybody has different, you know, at certain times in their life, they pick things for different reasons.
Yeah. Well, I have to tell you, you know, we're almost done with it, doing our living trust with David Schneider. He's pretty amazing, I have to tell you. That, you know, he just asked he's like a teacher, you know? I mean, because he could feel, I'm like, he's like, oh, she's not sitting so pretty with this one. What's the question? I'm like, well, does this really mean, you know? And so he, like, goes through my husband's like, I could tell he's, like, you know, rolling his eyes going, okay, you know?
I think the harder part for us was the actual, you know, what do you want done if you are brain dead?
Yeah.
You know, like, what is your view?
Well, you know,
where do you, because Steve and I have a very different view about how we want to be buried, and different, you know, because he wants to be buried, I want to be cremated. If he buries me, I'm going to come back and haunt him. So, you know,
I'll remember that.
We have a very different view now. He's a little okay about it, but when we first got married, he was like, I am not cremating you.
Yeah, but that's your will, and that's what you,
yeah,
yeah,
but when
I know,
you know what, you're gone, what do you know?
Exactly.
You know?
Wow. Well, we'll have to talk about this, because I really think that this is something that touches a lot of people. But what I really wanted to say is I definitely recommend getting a living trust for your family. It kind of just really lets you
Peace of mind.
Yeah, it's big. So, all right. Go ahead. Tell who we're going to be talking to, and we're going to take a really quick break, and we'll come back.
So when we come back, we'll be speaking with Joe Mazzol, who's the CEO of Character Education, talking about education in our schools.
All right. So you're listening to the Kim Pagano Show. I do want to say we have another pair of tickets And that is for this weekend at Olivia's, let's see here, hold on. Because I've only been there once, but it's a really cool place, Adobe. And that's this Saturday night. It's a special concert to give away. It's benefiting the concert, it's a benefiting concert to give away, to raise funds for the Ventura Unified Art Education. Did I just totally mess that
yeah,
up?
Yeah, we'll say it again when
okay,
you come back.
I know.
Okay,
but
we're
anyways,
gonna go away for a break.
These tickets are $25 each, and we have two of them. So give us a call here at 805-639-0008.
Oh, honey, what's wrong?
I just finished meeting with the realtor, and she says we can't sell Dad's house without a court order.
What do you mean?
The realtor said we had to have a probate. It can take more than a year to complete and cost more than $20,000.
What are we going to do?
I'm attorney David R. Schneider, and this kind of problem plays out every day for families of Ventura County who did not plan accordingly. A probate proceeding can cost families thousands of dollars in wasted costs and attorney's fees, leave families feeling helpless. Let me show you how I can save your family thousands with a comprehensive estate plan using a revocable living trust. Call me at the law offices of David R. Schneider, 374-8777. Listeners of the Kim Pagano Show receive a free one-hour, no-obligation consultation, a $275 value. Give us a call at 374-8777 and say you heard about us from the Kim Pagano Show. Let us help. Call 374-8777. That's 374-8777.
Grow your business with Ventura's only hometown newspaper, the Ventura Breeze, by reaching our highly targeted audience at affordable prices. Your ad will be read by thousands of local residents, business owners, and visitors. Our affordable rates start at just over $33 an issue, giving you an exceptional return for your advertising dollars. To be included in the next issue of the Ventura Breeze, contact us at advertising@venturabreeze.com.
That just always makes you in such a good mood, you know?
Yeah.
All right. Welcome back. You are listening to the Kim Pagano Show. Joe, are you there? Joe?
Mm-hmm.
Welcome.
Thank you very much, and thank you for having me as a guest on your program today.
No problem. So tell us a little bit about, you know, we know that there's definitely a shortage here so for students and how you are helping.
Well, for starters, for your listeners, I'd say that we realize that parents want their kids to get a great education in schools, and we got that, and we support academic excellence. But we know that parents also want their kids to feel safe and supported and cared for at schools, and they want them to develop into caring, productive, compassionate, contributing adults. And that takes a lot more than just focusing on test scores in schools. So we believe that part of the core mission of schools, Kim, should include intentional character development as part of the school experience.
So when you say character development, what do you mean by that?
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, I think those parents that are trying to teach their sons and daughters about responsibility and respect and compassion and doing the right thing and working hard and doing their best, to not just in school but all other endeavors, character education just reinforces those same concepts in school to support parents and what they're trying to teach at home.
So this isn't a religious
and by the way,
point of view. This is
academic excellence too.
Right, and this is not a religious point of view. This is a character of.
Oh no, no, we're not faith-based, and we're not political, and we support all schools, or regardless if they're public or charter or private or whatever. It doesn't matter to us. We just think this should be a core mission of all schools, and that it's really important to prepare young people for success in life, and besides, it's the right thing to do.
You know, I cannot tell you, I think that is excellent. I have to tell you, because so many people are so hooked on academics, which, yes, we need that in our life, but we need just stability as a human being, and I think a lot of times we're missing that part.
Well, you know, we have to be empathetic with the pressure that's on teachers right now. And gosh, in California, as you know, because of budgetary constraints, you've got two teachers doing the work of three.
Definitely.
And there's pressure on academic achievement, so they're under intense pressure. So we have to be very mindful of that. And What they need to understand is that character and academics, they're related, and it's not an either-or proposition. In our view, good character education is nothing but good old-fashioned education, really, at the end of the day, Kim.
So what what exactly does your program look like, or what is it that you're trying to do, or how does it work?
Well, I don't want to imply that this is just an off-the-shelf program that's heaped on teachers that are already overwhelmed. We take a very broad view of character education in schools, and it has to go much deeper than just some posters, a word of the month, or a once or twice a year assembly that might focus on respect for others or academic integrity.
So what are a couple things that they can do, practical things that teachers can do?
Well, what we advise is that that teachers kind of follow this comprehensive strategy for character in schools that makes it part of the entire culture of the school, that cuts across not just the curriculum, but it's reinforced in the sports program and the extracurricular activities, in the lunchroom, and it just cuts across everything that the school does.
Well, I know, at my kids' elementary school, when they were in elementary school, the principal used to pick a word, a character word, and that's what they would focus on the entire week. Is that what you're talking about, something that would reinforce throughout the school the same concept?
Well, you know, we believe that schools need to stand for something. Now, some of them establish certain qualities, traits, or some use the word core values. That's up to them. We don't have any kind of off-the-shelf things that we think they should do, but we believe that it's important that they have something, that they stand for something, and that they reinforce those views and beliefs and their practices and their policies and the way that they talk to students and one another.
What successes have you had? What successes in your organization have you had with this education with the teachers?
Okay. Well, you know, we have been studying schools and actually recognizing excellence for those that really do it well for about 15 years now, Kim. And back in May, we co-sponsored a Senate briefing and brought in a principal from a school in Missouri that was one of the worst schools in the state that is now considered to be one of the very best schools in the state. In fact, they used to have a police officer that had to roam the hallways because of violence and bullying issues. At any rate, she kind of testified before Senate staffers and told her story. And what happened at that school, Kim, was their 3,000 disciplinary referrals dropped down to 300. Their 600 Fs dropped down to 6. Their communication arts test scores went from 30% proficient to 68. And their math scores went from 7% up to 71%. And she attributed that to their character education initiative and how it just improved the environment and the climate.
So if a school here wanted to start, can you give us some practical ways that a school could start this process?
Well, what I would encourage them to do is to go to our website, www.character.org. And what we have there are really hundreds of classroom practices, individual lesson plans that they might want to adopt at the local level in your community.
But Joe, give us, can you give us a hard,
just a couple?
Yeah, give us something you know, that we would be able to kind of connect with.
Sure. Well, you know, we had one school, for example, that chose perseverance for one of their traits or qualities in their school. And they required the kids in this elementary school to run a mile. And they had a young man that was on crutches and was in and out of a wheelchair, but he wanted to complete the mile because it was part of the school requirement. He wanted to be like the rest of the kids. Well, he was struggling to do that, and the individual students kind of rallied around and encouraged him to finish it, and then they had a little assembly the next day and celebrated it. But here's an example of a school that believes in perseverance and why that's important in life, and then use that as a real-life example of how others supported this young person to have him achieve his goal and why that was good, and they celebrated it, and it just reinforced an important life lesson
right.
For that individual.
So you're basically, your website, actually, it talks about integrity, basically, right, of being the best that you can be, whatever that is, mm-hmm. for each school. So each school stands for something so you can represent, correct?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, great.
Yeah, and again, we don't sort of mandate what those things are. We understand that that needs to be determined at the local level. And, you know, who are we in Washington, D.C. to say what the schools for out in California should stand for, what parents in that community think are important.
Okay.
So could you give us your website again so that people could look up and maybe come up with their own plan?
Yep. www.character.org.
Okay, perfect. Well, thank you so much, Joe. It's been great.
Oh, well, thank you so much. I wish you and your listeners the very best, Kim.
All right, you too. Thank you so much.
Okay.
All right. Well, if you are just tuning in, we're almost done. And, you know, I tell you, these shows go faster and faster. And so that was kind of interesting. I didn't really get the whole gist of, you know, of what it was. I mean, I always think that integrity and obviously, you know, being the best you that we're teaching our children in our schools, because really that is where it all starts.
And I think he just wasn't getting his point across. I think he was trying to say that testing isn't everything, and that we need to focus equally on character and other things around to make kids feel successful.
And I do agree with that, because not everybody is at their academic best. Having four children, you know, having a great big heart and being a good person can get you through life too. And so I think that's a bigger message. So I like that.
Well, and I think always the struggle is, kids spend so much time at school that they're getting a lot of these sort of character development pieces from being around other kids. And the adults are the teachers. The adults are the ones that are there. And the teachers have so much on their plate and have so many requirements that they have to have that in, have achieved, that it makes it hard at times to also stop and remember that they're imparting a lot of wisdom to children of all ages. And I think that's always the dilemma when you have so many kids and so many requirements.
Definitely. All right. Well, I want to thank you for listening to the Kim Pagano Show. And Marcia, thank you for being here.
My pleasure.
Prudence, thank you for being here.
Thank you for having me.
Steve, great job on the board.
Thank you.
Do you want to tell us who the winner was of the tickets?
Yeah, it was actually
Christine.
It was Christine Alvarado.
All right. Well, congratulations.
Congratulations, Christine.
We will get in touch with you so you can get those tickets for this Saturday night. And, of course, I end all of my shows with a mommy moment. And today's is, the truth is so rare, it is delightful to tell. So with that, I want to say have a great day, and I'll talk to you tomorrow.
Plastic bag drifting through the wind, wanting to start again. Do you ever feel so paper thin, like a house of cards, one blow from caving in? Do you ever feel already buried deep, 6 feet under screens, but no one seems to hear a thing? Do you know that there's still a chance for you, 'cause there's a spark in you, you just gotta ignite the light and let it shine. Just